Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and welcome to the Double Double Seminar, where you learn how to double your income and double your time off in one solid hour of high-powered ideas and strategies. What you will learn in the next hour can change your life. The following 60 minutes are full of ideas, methods, strategies, and techniques that are used by the most productive and highest paid people in every field. When you begin implementing these ideas in your work and life, you'll start to get results out of all proportion to the efforts that you put in. The structure of the seminar is simple. I will conduct the seminar personally with a small group of professional business people who will ask questions and comment as we go along. You will be able to listen in, very much as if you were sitting in an audience watching a speaker on the stage with several other people on the stage asking questions as the seminar progresses. Please be sure to take notes, especially about those things which you feel you can apply immediately to get better results. Thank you very much for being here. And now, let's get started.
When I started my work in speaking, I started off so far behind I thought I was first. I started off selling from door to door long before I began speaking, and I began asking myself, why is it that some people are more successful than others? And over time, I found the reasons. I found that the law of cause and effect is the critical determinant of everything that happens to you, that everything that happens, happens for a reason, that success is not an accident, that failure is not an accident. So with that discovery, I went out and I began asking other successful people what they were doing differently from me, and surprisingly enough, they told me, and I did it, and I got better results. When I was in sales, I asked top salespeople, and they told me how to phone, and how to get appointments, and how to present, and how to answer objections, and how to close sales, and how to get referrals, and my sales went up and up and up until they made me a sales mangler. Once I became a sales mangler, I began teaching other people the same things I learned, and I took people who had never sold anything before in their lives, and many of them today are millionaires. They run their own businesses, and sometimes multiple businesses, because they learned the laws of cause and effect. Now, here's the most important law of all. It is that thoughts are causes and conditions are effects. In other words, your thoughts control your life. Your thoughts are creative. So what I found is the most successful and most effective people, the ones that make the most money and have the best lives, are those who simply think better than other people. So our purpose in the next 55 minutes is to give you some tools and give you the ways that the very best people think. We say that the law of cause and effect applied to your mind, thoughts are causes and conditions are effects, simply mean this, is that you become what you think about most of the time. You become what you think about most of the time. So the key questions are, what do you think about most of the time, and how do you think about it most of the time? So we studied thousands of very successful people, people who started from rags and went to riches, people who started with nothing, people who came to this country penniless, people who were broke in their 20s and 30s and who were millionaires by the time they were in their 40s and 50s, to find out what they think about most of the time. And if you're on this call, you already have the mindset that will make you rich. In other words, you have the tools, you have the computer, you have the software, you have the programming, you have everything that you need. All you need to do is set it up and operate it. So if you're on this call, it means that you are what I call an entrepreneurial thinker. An entrepreneurial thinker is an optimist. An entrepreneurial thinker is a person who thinks vastly better than the average person. Now, there's three ways that an entrepreneurial thinker thinks, and these are three things that I know about you because these are three ways that you think as well. The first is that you are goal-oriented. Goal-oriented people think about their goals most of the time. And there's a wonderful principle in psychology that says that whatever you dwell upon or think about increases. So if you think about your goals and talk about your goals and think about how you can achieve your goals most of the time, surprise, surprise, you're going to accomplish vastly more than a person who doesn't. So goal-oriented people are the most successful. And I'll come back and talk about that a little bit more in a couple of seconds. How do you set goals? How do you achieve them? The second quality that you have is that you are result-oriented. Now, this is very interesting. The great majority of people in our society are basically time-oriented. They put in efforts, but they're not result-oriented. Result-oriented people think in terms of the results that they need to get in order to earn the money that they want to achieve the goals that they set for themselves. Result-oriented people actually think of themselves every hour and keep asking, am I working on the most important results? Am I getting the results that are expected of me? You see, life is a cause and effect deal. if you put in the proper efforts and you get the results, you do get the rewards. One of the laws of life is that there's a direct relationship between your results and your reward. In life, only a small percentage, less than 10% of people, are intensely result-oriented. So, first of all, you're goal-oriented. The second of all, you're result-oriented. Result-oriented people think, what results do I have to get in order to achieve my goals? And then they focus and they think about results most of the time. They get up in the morning and they think about results they have to get that day, and they think about results all day long. Now, the third quality that you have that makes you an entrepreneur is that you are action-oriented. You think in terms of what you can do now. You think in terms of actions that you can take immediately. The difference between successful people and failures has been identified in dozens of studies over the last 50 years. If you're standing back through a plate glass window looking at people, you can tell the successful people just by looking at them, because successful people are more active. They are busier. They are doing more things. They're trying more things. Unsuccessful people are just sitting there. I just took a walk a little while ago and went past a construction zone. There were 12 people in the construction zone, all with construction uniforms, all making $20, $30 an hour. 10 of them were sitting. Only 2 were standing, leaning on their shovels. And these people will wonder years from now why their lives never got any better, because they just stand around. The people who are going somewhere are the people who are in motion. You know, there's a little story of the two construction workers are dropped off by the boss, and he goes back to the construction shack, dropped off on the road, and one of them calls back and says, hey, you forgot to drop off our shovels with us when you left us. And she says, well, okay, I'll send the shovels out as quickly as possible, but until then, just lean on each other. Well, that's how most people do. They just stand around leaning. So you are goal-oriented. You think about what you want. You're result-oriented. You think about how to get it and the results you need to accomplish. And you're action-oriented. You're moving all the time. What this means is that you're going to have a fabulous life. It means that really nothing can stop you if you keep those three things. Now, let's talk about what I call the 7 C's to success. And these 7 C's are the keys to doubling your income and doubling your time off. Number one, the first C, which I think is the most important word in success, is the word clarity. 90% or more of all of your success will come because you're perfectly clear about who you are and what you want. And most failure comes because people are not clear. If you ever meet an unhappy person who's unhappy for any reason, their work, their family, their life, ask them, what are your goals? And you'll find that most people who are unhappy for whatever reason don't have any goals at all. Because people who have goals are so busy working on the goals, they don't have time to be unhappy. So here's the keys to clarity. The starting point of clarity is to determine your true values. Determine what is really important to you in life. You know, there's an old saying that says that motivation requires motive. The motive force in your life is your values. These are the things that you really consider important and valuable in life. Whether your values are freedom, whether your values are courage, whether your values are love or independence or creativity, your outer life always has to be in harmony with your values in order for you to be motivated. That's why when you set goals, you always ask yourself, what is it that I really, really want personally? Not what do I think I should have or what do other people want me to do, but what do I want? And that always has to be consistent with your values. Now, out of your values, and we teach this in our Focal Point coaching program because it's essential to success in life, out of your values emerges your vision. And your vision is you project yourself forward 3 to 5 years and you ask yourself, if my life was perfect in 3 to 5 years, what would it look like? And you just imagine, we find that the quality of leaders, the quality of leadership is vision. Leaders have vision. Non-leaders merely work to fulfill the visions of others. When you develop a vision for where you want to be 3 to 5 years from now, then you start to become a leader in your own life. If you are in business, starting a business or working in a business, to the degree to which you have a vision, that's the degree to which you become a leader. Once you have a vision, you ask, what is my mission? This is another place where clarity is necessary. And the mission, just ask the question, you know, what do you want to accomplish with your life? Do you want to be the best at what you do? Do you want to make $1 million? Do you want to produce the very best product and services? Do you want to be one of the top salespeople in your field? You have to have a mission. You have to have something that you're working toward. And your mission has to be measurable. As we say, every mission has to have a measure. And finally, the fourth thing you have to be clear about is your purpose. And the purpose is, why do you want it in the first place? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you go to work? Nietzsche once said, a person can endure any what if they have a big enough why. So those are the key questions. What are your values? And then from that, what is your vision? And from your vision, what is your mission? And from that, what is your purpose? Now you can set goals. And the goals you set are in four areas of your life consistent with your values, vision, mission, and purpose. The first goals are your career goals. Now, career goals are the goals that you want to accomplish in your work. The second type of goals are your family goals. Your family goals are what do you really want for your family and your relationships. Your third goals are your financial goals. How much do you want to make? How much do you want to keep? How much do you want to accumulate over time, the course of your lifetime? And the fourth set of goals are your health and fitness goals. One of the great questions is, how long do you intend to live? And most people say, well, I'm going to live to be 100. Well, let me ask you this. Are your health habits today, what you're doing every single day, consistent with living to be 100? People say, I want to become a millionaire. Well, are your financial habits, your behaviors with regard to money, consistent with becoming a millionaire? And so on. So once you have clarity about who you are, vision, values, mission and goals, mission and purpose, then you have clarity with what it is you want to do with yourself. And then the third part of goals is really, how will you measure or track your success? In other words, what gets measured gets done. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So many people say, I have a goal, I want to be rich. You say, well, how much will you require? Well, I don't know, lots of money. Well, how much do you want to earn? Well, more than I'm earning today. Well, how long do you want to live? A long time. Well, these are not goals. These are merely fantasies that are common to everybody. So one of the things that we teach in our Focal Point coaching program is we teach you how you can establish a focal point or a metric for every goal. And here's four examples. For example, with your career, we encourage you to use your hourly rate as the critical measure. That is the very best determinant how well you're doing in your career is how much you earn each hour. And many of our clients actually calculate how much they earn each week and divide it by exactly the number of hours they work that week, and they track their hourly rate to the penny every single week. And as I said before, if you keep focusing on your hourly rate, the most amazing thing happens is you start to get more and more effective, and your hourly rate starts to go up. You start to make more and more and more. So the second part, with your relationship goals, how do you measure your relationships? Well, I think, and this is my opinion, it's the amount of time you spend face-to-face, head-to-head, knee-to-knee, with the most important people in your life. So your relationships, you can measure by how much time you spend with key people. One of the things that you want to do, if you want to double your time off, you make a decision to double your time off. And then you decide how and when you're going to take the time off, and then you just do it. And it's the most amazing thing. The more time you take off, the more you'll get done when you're working, because you'll be better rested, you'll be more refreshed, you'll be more creative, you'll have more energy, you'll be more highly motivated, and so on. So you can actually increase your income by increasing the amount of time you spend face-to-face taking time off with the key people in your life. Now, the third type of goals is your financial goals, is easily measured by saying, how long could you live today if you had to sell everything and quit working? How long could you live today on the amount of money you've accumulated? Your goal with regard to money is to reach a point where you never have to work again. That doesn't mean you quit. It just means you never have to work again. That's your measure. Add up everything you have today, deduct all of your debts, and say, how long could I live on my current savings? That is how well you're doing financially. All financially successful people think in terms of their run rate or their burn rate. They always think in terms of how long I could live and work or live comfortably with the amount of money that I have. And what you do is you figure it out, how much do I need to live comfortably, and then you figure out that when you retire, you're probably going to live for 25 years, and that becomes your goal. And the final area is with regard to your health and fitness, and one of the best measures I find is your waist size. Your waist size is a pretty good measure of how healthy you are. One of the measures I use is the number of minutes that I exercise every week. If you exercise 200 to 300 minutes a week and you watch your diet, you're going to be very fit. So these are the keys to setting goals. Now, there's a seven-step goal-setting method, and I'll give it to you quickly, and then I'm going to give you an exercise which has changed the lives of thousands of people. If you just simply follow this one exercise, it'll be worth 10 times or 100 times this call. Many of you have already heard it, so bear with me. So here's the seven-step goal-setting method. Number one is decide exactly what you want. Decide exactly what you want. This will put you into the top 10% of people in the world. When you are absolutely clear about what you want in each area, then you simultaneously become clear about what you don't want. When you know what you stand for, you become clear about what you won't stand for. So, number two, once you've decided what you want, is write it down in detail. Only 3% of people have written goals. When you write down your goals, you move into the top 3%. Number three is set a deadline on your goal. Your subconscious mind is very powerful, and it loves deadlines. And if it's a big enough goal, set sub-deadlines. If you have a five-year goal, set one-year goals, and then six-month goals, and three-month goals, and one-month goals. I know many top salespeople and entrepreneurs who set daily goals. They have daily goals for calls, daily goals for sales, and they have daily goals for hourly rate, how much they want to earn every hour that day. And they do vastly better than people who just start off at the beginning of the day without thinking about it. Now, the fourth step is to make a list. Make a list of everything that you could think of that you could possibly do to achieve your goals. And as you think of new things, add them to the list. Almost like designing a dream house. Write down everything you'd like to have in your dream house, and as you think of new things, write them down. Eventually, you'll have them all written down. Then, number five is organize your list into a plan. You organize the list by priority and by sequence. Priority are the things you have to do first, and sequence are the things that come before other things. Once you have a goal and a plan, step number six is to take action on your goal.
Brian,
do something.
I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Yep, Brian, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Would you be just as fastidious about your personal goals? I've heard you talk a lot about your hourly rate, but how would you do that with family and personal goals?
Well, again, the way that you measure your family goals is the amount of time that you spend with your family, the amount of days off that you take, the amount of long weekends, the amount of vacations. So you can write those down and make plans for them as well. If you say, I'm going to take off 4 weeks with my family this year, when? Exactly what dates? Where are you going to go? How much will it cost? What reservations will you have to make? Remember, the more specific you can be, great question, the more specific you can be, the more likely it is that it will happen just exactly the way you planned it. But if you're not specific, it's like cigarette smoke. It'll just kind of disappear in the air. And the year will go by and you say, whatever happened to all those plans? Well, you didn't write them down. You didn't make a plan. You didn't set a deadline, and you didn't take action. You just had them as planned.
Thank you.
Number seven is do something every day on your major goal. This is one of the most important things of successful people. I know successful people who work 365 days a year. Even if it's just to review your goals, they do something every day on their major goals. They never miss a day. They develop momentum, and they keep momentum. Orison Swett Marden, who was the writer who founded Success Magazine in 1895, said there are two keys to success. One is get-to-itiveness, and the other is stick-to-itiveness. Is that the most important of all is once you get going, keep going on your major goals. Now, here's the exercise I want to give you. This is your homework exercise from this call. Is take a clean sheet of paper after the call, and at the top of that piece of paper, write the word goals and today's date. Then, write down a minimum of 10 goals that you'd like to accomplish in the next year or so. Write them in the present tense as though a year has passed and you've already accomplished them. So you wouldn't say, I will earn, but I do earn. I weigh. I work out. I have. I achieve. I drive. And so on. Once you finish that list of 10, you can write more than 10 if you like, but a minimum of 10. Then go over this list and ask yourself this question. If I could just accomplish one goal on this list, and maybe accomplish the list later, but if I could accomplish one goal right now, which one goal would have the greatest positive impact on my life? And whatever it is, put a circle around that goal, move it to a clean sheet of paper, set a deadline, make a list of everything that you'll have to do to achieve it, organize the list into a plan, and then work on it every day. Now, here's the most incredible thing. When you write down your 10 goals, 1 year from now, when you look at those goals, you will have accomplished 8 of the 10 goals. Because by writing them down, you program them into your subconscious mind. The second is, the more you work on that one goal that can help you the most, the more progress you'll make on all the other goals at the same time. It's almost a miracle. I've had people come back to me and say that they accomplished more in a week after having written 10 goals than they expected to accomplish in a year. I've had new immigrants who come to my seminars who literally gone from rags to riches in 3, 4, or 5 years with this simple method of writing down 10 goals, picking the most important goal and working on it every single day.
Hey, Brian, this is Joe Polish.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I wanted to mention something, follow up with what you just said on that. You know, I've really shared that with a lot of my marketing clients, and especially when I actually hired you to speak at my seminar that one time. We had like, I don't know, 300 people in the room. And that has to be one of the most talked about methods of achieving goals. That, I mean, this is going back 2 years ago when we first introduced this to people, and it came from you. And, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have commented about writing down 10 goals, doing it every day, and just getting really clear on what it is they do. I mean, in that exercise, I've done it many different times. One thing that I've learned through you, just carrying around a notebook and writing it down, and I do it for periods of time where I do it every day, and then you get more clarity, and you're always focused on the most important thing, and that it's a simple exercise, and I don't want anyone to think because of its simplicity not to do it. It's very powerful.
Well, thank you, Joe, and I tell everybody, carry a spiral notebook, cost you $1.59, carry it around with you, and every morning get up and write down your 10 goals in the present tense. Each time you write them down, you burn them deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind, and you start to attract into your life all kinds of people and opportunities and ideas to help you achieve those goals. In fact, the test, if you really want your goals, the test is, can you rewrite them every day? That's really kind of a test on your part. So let's go to the next C. The first C is clarity with regard to goals, values, vision, mission, and purpose. The second C stands for competence. And this is really important. This means that you have to decide to become very good at the most important things you do. You know, one of the great rules for life is do what you love and love what you do. Sometimes when I'm on radios and radio and television, they'll ask me, is there any key to success? I said, yes, decide what it is you love to do, and then throw your whole heart into doing that really well. And if you'll do that, everything else will open up for you. What I suggest to my seminar audiences is this. Decide today to join the top 10% in your field. And one of the things I learned which changed my life as a young man was this, is that everybody in the top 10% today started in the bottom 10%. Everybody who's doing well in your field today started doing poorly. As a matter of fact, everybody who's at the top of your field today was once not even in your field. And anything that anyone else has done, you can do as well. And here's another reason why you want to be in the top 10%, is it'll make you automatically one of the highest paid people in your field for the rest of your life. You'll never have to worry about money. Your chances of becoming a self-made millionaire are about over 90% when you're one of the top people in your field. So to become one of the top people in your field, it's real simple. You want to identify your unique selling proposition, your area of excellence. What are your natural talents and abilities? What do you enjoy doing? What do you do better than anything else? One of the things that we ask is, if you could do one thing all day long, what's the most valuable thing that you do? What's the thing that you do that you enjoy the most, that if you did it all day long, it would earn you the most money? And whatever it is, what you do is you write it down as a goal, you make a plan, and you go to work to become very, very good in that area. Now, at Harvard and the major business schools, there's a term called key result areas. And it's a very powerful term. It says that in any field of endeavor, there's about 5 to 7 key result areas. These are results. Each one is usually sequential. You have to get one before you get the other. That you must be absolutely excellent at doing in order to do an outstanding job. For example, in sales, there's 7 key result areas. There's prospecting, finding people to talk to. There's number 2 is establishing rapport so that people like you and trust you. Number 3 is identifying and finding out what the person really wants and needs that you can offer them. Number 4 is presenting your product or service as the perfect answer for their wants and needs. Number 5 is answering questions or objections or concerns they have. Number 6 is closing the sale, getting to take action. And number 7 is getting resales from that customer and getting referrals to new customers. There's 7 key result areas. Now, in management, there's 7. In being a corporate executive, there's 7. In building a business or a relationship or health, there's 3, 5, 7. So ask yourself, what are the key result areas in what you do? What results do you absolutely positively have to get in order to do your overall job in an excellent fashion? The second part of key result areas is called standards of performance. Going back to what we talked about before with regard to metrics and measurements. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So therefore, ask yourself, what are the standards of performance that represent excellence in your field? For example, if you're prospecting, you may say, I make 10 new prospecting calls every single day. That's my standard of performance. If I'm hitting 10, I'm on my standard. If I'm above 10, I'm performing above my standard. If I'm below 10, I'm performing below my standard. Now, Joe, one of the suggestions you made last week, which is really great, is that every employment agreement is a performance management agreement. I've shared that with a couple of company owners, and they love that.
Yeah.
and the interesting thing, you have to have a performance management agreement with yourself as well. You have to set performance management standards for yourself. And every day, whether you feel like it or not, you get up and you do what you darn well said you were going to do. Because if you do these things, you will achieve the goals that you set for yourself. So, your standards of performance. Now, here's one of the great discoveries that comes out of a 10-year piece of research. Your weakest key result area sets the height of your income. Your weakest key result area determines how much money you make. If it's a key result, let us say you're in selling, you're poor at prospecting, then you could be brilliant at everything else, but if you haven't got anybody to talk to, that will determine how much you make. Let's say in selling, you're poor at closing. Well, you can do everything else well, but if you can't get the customer to take action, that will determine how much money you make. So you have to ask yourself, and this is a hard question, but it's really important, what one skill, if I developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would help me the most? What one skill, if you were really, really good at it, would do more to increase your income than any other skill? Now, when I ask that question, almost everybody knows what it is. It's almost always a skill they don't particularly like. It's something that they avoid doing. If you don't know what it is, go to your boss. Go to your coworkers. Ask your staff. Say, what one thing, if I did it really, really well, would make me more valuable than anything else I could do? And you know something? Everybody around you knows what it is. They'll tell you in an instant, well, if you just did this really well, it'd double your productivity. I've worked with thousands of people who had the courage and the honesty to identify their weakest skill and say, well, I don't like prospecting. I don't like closing. I feel really uncomfortable writing out business plans and so on. Good. It just means you're not good at it yet. Your job is to become good at it. So what you do is say, okay, I'm going to become very good at this. I'm not going to allow my weakness in this one little area to hold me back from realizing my full potential in my field. I'm not going to let it happen. And then you write it down as a goal. My goal is to be excellent in this area. You set a deadline. You make a list of everything that you're going to do to become excellent in that field. You organize it into a plan. You take action on your plan, and you work on it every day. And you work on it every day until you master that key skill. And then what do? You ask the question again. Now, what one skill would help me the most? And for the rest of your life, you play leapfrog with regard to your skills. You're always working to bring up your weakest skill. You're always working to bring up the one skill that can help you the most at any given time. This one concept alone is one of the most important concepts I've ever learned in my life, and it will make you one of the top people in your field, one of the highest paid, and it will make you rich. And by the way, you must teach everybody else. What one skill could you develop that would enable you to be more valuable than anything else? So that's a critical part of competence. Resolve to become really good. Discover your area of excellence. Do what you love. Throw your whole heart into it. And be honest enough to admit that in this particular skill area, this is the one where I'm weak. And say, hey, so I'm weak in this skill area. One time, and I couldn't do it at all. Now I do it poorly. A year from now, I'm going to be so good at it, they put me on the bus tour. The tourist buses come by my house, and they point through the window and say, that's the person who's really good at that skill. Now, the third C is called the theory of constraints. Now, this is one of the most important breakthrough thinking areas I've ever found in 30 years of research. It's literally the key to doubling and tripling your productivity, your performance, your output, and your income. What you do is you ask yourself, you identify the limiting factors in achieving your goals. In other words, you ask yourself, what determines the speed at which I achieve my goals? With companies, I'll sometimes do this. They'll say, well, what determines the speed at which you achieve your profit goals? They say, well, it's the number of sales. Well, is it really the number of sales? Well, maybe it's the size of the sales. Well, maybe it's not the size of the sales. Maybe it's the profitability of each sale. Or maybe the limit is the number of resales you get from those customers. If you own a restaurant, for example, and you do fabulous advertising and people only come once, you'll go broke. Because it is the return visits that make you rich. Because as you know, a return customer costs almost nothing. But to get a new customer can bankrupt you. So you can say, well, maybe our problem is we don't get enough resales. And why is that? Well, maybe we don't give enough follow-up service. Well, why is that? Well, maybe we don't have a reward structure that encourages people to give excellent customer service. In other words, keep asking, what sets the speed at which you achieve your income goals, your profitability goals? Sometimes the limiting factor is your inability to say no with regard to expenditures. So ask yourself, what is holding you back? What's holding you back from doubling your income? If you wanted to double your income, what is holding you back? What is the constraint? What is the bottleneck or the choke point? And a good way to ask this question is, I ask my audiences, I say, look, if you want to double your income, why aren't you earning twice as much already? Why aren't you earning twice as much already, if that's your goal? And think about that. The very first thing that will come into your mind will be your favorite excuses. Well, you know, because I live too far out of town, or because, you know, I don't know enough people, or you'll think of your favorite excuses, but remember, they're only excuses. Mark Twain once said, there's 1,000 excuses for every failure, but never a good reason. So therefore, what is your favorite excuse? And your favorite excuse will pop into your mind when you say, why aren't I there already? Now, with regard to constraints, you apply the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule says that 80% of all the reasons you're not achieving your goal are inside yourself. The average person, whenever they think of a goal and think of why they're not achieving it, they always think of someone else. It's the economy, it's the taxes, it's the market, it's my boss, it's the competition. No, 80% of the reasons why you're not achieving what you want to achieve in life are inside yourself. Abraham Maslow, in his studies of self-actualizing people, the highest people in our society, found they had one quality in common. They were all very honest with themselves. They were very honest with regard to their strengths and especially their weaknesses. So they'd always look into themselves. And here's one of the great questions. Always ask, what is it in me that's holding me back? What is it in me? Is it my habits? Is it my disciplines? Do I not show up on time? Am I not well organized? What is it in me that's stopping me from achieving my goals? And that's where you start. Now, the other 20% is external factors. You know, the economy goes into a recession. We have a terrorist attack in New York, and business stops for several months. The stock market turns down. Your major supplier or customer goes broke. In other words, there are always external factors. But 80% of the reasons why you're not achieving your goals and 80% of the constraints are inside you. And your job is to look yourself in the mirror or ask someone else, what is it in me that's holding me back? And whatever it is, you turn it into a goal, you write it down, you make a plan, and you work on it every day. You focus all your energies on alleviating that main constraint. Like a laser beam, you cut through that one knot that's holding you back. One of the great questions that we ask is, if you could wave a magic wand, how would you change or improve your existing situation? What obstacle would you remove? What block, what constraint, what problem would you remove from your life if you could just zap it with a magic wand? And that will tell you where you need to go to work to become excellent at what you're doing to achieve your goals. Now, the fourth C is called creativity. And creativity says basically you are a potential genius. According to the very best research, 95% of people have the ability to function at exceptional levels if they just unlock their genius. Masterminding with other intelligent, ambitious people and brainstorming are one of the fastest ways to unlock your creativity. Nobody ever sits by themselves and becomes a big success. What they do is they align themselves with other really positive people, and they share ideas, and they brainstorm, and they plus and add to each other's ideas. Sometimes in our coaching programs, a person will have one idea that they say is worth $100,000. One other person at the table said, why don't you just do this? And they just about fall off their chair. That's the idea that will save them 5 years of hard work. So it's really important you realize it, that you are so smart, you're dangerous. My friend Dennis Waitley said you could not use all of your potential if you had 100 lifetimes. I love that quote. You can use your creativity to solve any problem, to achieve any goal, to overcome any obstacle. And here's the way that you unlock your creativity. You put your key into the door and you turn the lock with these questions. First of all, you ask, what exactly is my problem or obstacle? Accurate diagnosis is half the cure. The major reason why people don't solve problems is they're confused, they're unclear about what the problem really is. So write it down and say, my problem is this, and define it absolutely clearly. And then ask yourself this question. This is the million-dollar question. What else is the problem? If this is your problem, what else is the problem? Beware of a problem for which there's only one definition. Look for ways to restate the problem to make it more amenable to a solution. You say, well, my sales are down. What else is the problem? Well, I'm not selling enough. What else is the problem? Well, my customers are not buying enough. What else is the problem? Well, my customers are not buying enough from me. Because maybe they are buying enough, they're just not buying it from you. What else is the problem? Well, I'm not selling well enough. What else is the problem? I don't close well enough. What else is the problem? I don't know how to close sales. In other words, keep pushing, keep drilling down into a problem until you find the real problem. Remember, the first 3, 5, even 6 times when you ask what else, you will get an answer that's not correct. It's the 7th time you drill into a problem that very often you hit oil. So keep drilling, and when you're trying to help somebody else solve a problem, just say, well, what else could be the problem? And what else? And what else? The easy answer is the one they'll give you right away. The real answer is the one you get from drilling down. Then the next step is you identify all the possible solutions. You say, what are all the possible solutions to this problem? And here's another rule. Beware of a problem for which there's only one solution. Beware of a problem. Simplistic people think, well, there's just one solution. No. For a complex problem, there may be a variety of different solutions, and these solutions can all be ordered. There's one solution that's vastly better than any of the others, and the second solution is better than any of the others below it, and so on. So you may come up with 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 solutions. The best thinkers develop a whole range of solutions. Then they say, all things considered, what's the very best solution? Once you've got a variety of solutions, the next step is to make a decision. We find that all successful people are decisive. If they hear something good, they make a decision. If they learn about something, they make a decision. Unsuccessful people are always waffling, delaying, procrastinating, and so on. Then set a deadline on your decision. Say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the date or time by which I'm going to do it. And the last two parts, by the way, are, first of all, take responsibility or assign responsibility. Someone has to be responsible for the decision. And the last part is to take action immediately. Get on with it. Do it now. The interesting thing is that if you can identify the right problem, come up with a solution, even an imperfect solution, and then take action on it, surprise, surprise, you'll accomplish vastly more than a person who's waiting, you know, ready, aim, but never fires. The fifth C is concentration, which means your ability to focus single-mindedly on one thing at a time. Now, this is very interesting. Concentration is a learned habit, like brushing or flossing your teeth. People say, well, I'm not very good at concentrating. Well, learn how. The fact is that there are some requirements for success, some that help, and there's some that are absolutely essential. And your ability to concentrate like a laser beam on one thing at a time is more essential to success than anything else. So we have a 6P formula that says proper prior planning prevents poor performance. PPPPP. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. So start each day with a list of activities. Make a list of everything you have to do before you begin. That will increase your concentration and improve your productivity by 25 to 50% just working from a list. Number two is set priorities on your list. Use the 80-20 rule. 20% of the items on your list will be worth 80% of the entire list. Say, of all the things on this list, what is the most important thing that I can do? And that becomes your top priority. Ask yourself, what are my highest value tasks? The question that we ask, if you could do just one thing all day long, which one thing is the most valuable thing that you can do today? Another question we ask is, what one thing can you do, and only you do, that if done well will make a real difference to your life and work? What can you and only you do? If you don't do it, nobody else will do it. It won't get done. But if you do it, it'll make a real difference to your life and work. Before you begin, ask yourself this question. And ask, why am I on the payroll? Why are you hired? Why do they pay you money? If your son or daughter said, Mommy, Daddy, why do they give you money where you work? What would you say? And you'll always answer, because I get this specific measurable result that has a dollar value. And the final question you ask in concentration is, what is the most valuable use of my time? What is the most valuable use of my time right now? And you ask yourself this question all day long, and you make sure that every single minute, every hour, you're working on the answer to that question. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? If you can do that, and it's hard to start off, if you can do it and practice with it until it becomes a habit, your future is absolutely guaranteed. If you have on the one hand focus, absolute clarity, and on the other hand tremendous concentration, you will be able to accomplish extraordinary things. Now the next C is the C of courage. And what we find is that the biggest single obstacle to success is not lack of ability or opportunity, it's lack of confidence. It's lack of courage in your own ability. And here's what we also find is that courage is a habit. Is you develop courage by acting courageously even when you don't feel like it. So you start off developing courage by, first of all, dreaming big dreams. When you see somebody else who's doing extraordinarily well, you think, I could do that, and you imagine how you might do it. You start thinking about all the different things you could do to drive that car, to make that money, live in that house. The very act of dreaming big dreams, psychologists have proven, raises your self-esteem. It improves your self-confidence. It gives you energy. It motivates you. Even if you don't move from where you're sitting, but you just start to fantasize about creating wonderful things with your life, the most amazing thing is you start to get more positive and more confident. So the second part of developing courage is to remember that it's fears of failure that hold you back. It's not failure itself, because you failed many, many times in accomplishing what you've accomplished up to now in life. It's the fear of failure. It's the thinking about failure. And the way that you overcome failure is you just do the thing you fear. One of the things we find is if you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain. If you'll just do the thing that you're afraid of and do it so fast you don't get a chance to think about it. In the movie Three Kings, starring George Clooney, he's asked by this one fellow, he said, how do you deal with the fear? And he said, well, it's very simple. He said, whatever you're terrified of doing, you do it, and the courage comes afterwards. And it's one of the great insights into psychology, is if you think of something you're afraid of doing, whether it's prospecting or cold calling or closing a sale, you do what you're afraid of doing, and the courage comes afterwards. The big mistake that we make in life is we keep saying, well, as soon as I feel confident enough, I'll do it. As soon as I feel mentally prepared, as soon as I'm up, as soon as I'm ready. No, that's not how it happens. It's the same as a new skill. If you learn a new skill in marketing, if you learn a new skill in selling, you don't say, well, I'll wait till I feel really good about it. What you do is you just do it, and the skill, the confidence, comes afterwards. Remember, the courage follows the action. The skill, the confidence, follows the action. So do the action, and the skill and the courage will come afterwards. There's a wonderful line that I love. It says, act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid. Act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid. One of the qualities of all successful men and women who double their income, double their time off, create wonderful lives for themselves, is they decide exactly what they want, and they just act boldly. They just step out in faith. You know that great line, leap, and the net will appear. Leap, and the net will appear. If you just step out boldly, all kinds of wonderful things start to happen that start to help you to achieve your goal. Now, Dorothea Brand wrote a book in 1935, and the book was based on a talk, and the talk became a pamphlet, and the pamphlet became a chapter, and the chapter became a book, and it was based on one concept. She said the greatest success principle she ever learned was this, is decide exactly what it is you want, and then act as if it were impossible to fail. Decide exactly what it is you want, and then just act as if you were unconditionally guaranteed of success. As though someone had waved a magic wand and told you that if you do this, your success is guaranteed. And the surprising thing is if you act as if your success is guaranteed, you bring about the success that you imagine. Thomas J. Watson Sr., the founder of IBM, was once asked by a young journalist how he could be more successful faster. And his answer was this. He said, if you want to succeed faster, he said, you must double your rate of failure. He said, success lies on the far side of failure. You must double your rate of failure. You know, there's a direct relationship between how many actions you take and how many things you try and how likely it is that you will succeed. So the more things you try, the smarter you get. The more things you try, the more experience you get. The more things you try, the better you get. The better you get, the fewer mistakes you make, and the more likely it is that you'll achieve success. So always at the end of every experience, ask the two magic questions. Instead of thinking about failure, ask, what did I do right? And what would I do differently if I had to do it over again?
Brian?
Yes.
Eric's got a question.
Yeah, hey, Brian, actually, this is more of a point, something that I learned from you in the past also about courage is you know, looking at the things you fear is learning from some of the successes you had in the past where you sort of had fear and you're afraid to get in your, out of, step out of your comfort zone. You did it, and then you succeeded. And when next time you sort of see that fear again, you kind of remember what you did last time and the feelings you got from that.
Absolutely. Remember, whatever you dwell upon, whatever you think about grows. The more you think about your success experiences, the more confidence you have to take risks. The more you think about your failure experiences, the more terrified you are to take risks. So you're absolutely right. Make a habit of constantly thinking about your successes. And eventually your subconscious mind records one message. This person is a big success. This person always succeeds. Now here's the last C, the seventh C. It's the C of closure. And this is really important. A major source of stress in our society is lack of closure. We start on something, but we don't finish it. So we say important task completion is a major source of energy and enthusiasm. Whenever you complete a task, big or small, you get a shot of endorphin. It makes you feel better. It gives you a jolt of energy. It makes you more positive. But the bigger the task that you push through to completion, the more elation, the more excitement that you get. All successful people make a habit of completing their tasks. Every time you complete a task, you get a positive jolt, which motivates you to take on a newer, bigger task. Pretty soon you get to the point where you are subconsciously programmed to start and finish your tasks. And once that happens, you become a starter and a finisher, get-to-itive and stick-to-itive. Once that happens, your success is guaranteed. So we say this, decide upon your goal or task, whatever it happens to be, set priorities, and pick the most important, most valuable thing you can do to achieve your most important goal of the moment, and then start immediately on that. This is the hardest thing of all. In my book, Eat That Frog, I say, imagine that you get up each morning and you eat a live frog. You'll know it's the worst thing that can happen to you all day long. And your live frog is your biggest, ugliest task. As they say, do the worst first. Do the biggest thing first and start on it. And then concentrate single-mindedly on that task all day long. Knowing that it's not just the task that's important, it's the character that you are developing. You see, character is the ability to follow through on a resolution. If you decide that you're going to start on this critical task and you're going to stay with it till it's done, then you have set a test for yourself to see what you're really worth inside. When you pass the test by disciplining yourself to stay at that task until it's done, you feel fantastic about yourself. You just get a shot, almost like you've taken a narcotic. You get a buzz that your subconscious mind records and says, hey, that felt good. Now, how can I get that feeling again? And the way you get that feeling is you set another goal and another big task, and you discipline yourself to complete that. So focus on your most important results. Keep asking, what result can I and only I get that will make the biggest difference? Develop a sense of urgency. Develop a bias for action. Develop the habit of moving quickly. I have a friend who's worth millions and millions of dollars. Quit school in the 10th grade when his teacher told him he had to spend more time on his classes because he wasn't. He asked his teacher, how much do you make? Teacher said about $22,000 a year. He said, I made twice as much as that buying and selling cars at home last year, and he walked out of the classroom and never went back. By the time he was finished, he was worth almost $1 billion. He never took a business degree. He never took a business course. And I worked with him very closely, and I found he had only one quality, is he just moved fast. Whenever he saw an opportunity, he just literally, like a falcon falling, he just whack, went after that opportunity. So develop a sense of urgency, develop a bias of action, get going and keep going until the job is done. This is the big test for success. So let me just recap what we've talked about. The three keys to success are this. Number one, decide exactly what you want. And for the rest of your life, by the way, if you have children, spouse, friends, coworkers, ask them, what exactly do you want to accomplish? Because the more you teach others to decide exactly what they want, the more clear you become yourself. Number two, determine the most important results you can get to achieve that task. What do you have to be really, really good at doing? And what results do you have to get to achieve your most important goal? And this becomes your focal point. You focus on getting these results all day long. And number three is take action immediately and never, never quit until you're successful. Decide what you want. Decide the results that you have to get. Take action immediately and never quit until you're successful. If you follow those seven C's, clarity, competence, constraints, creativity, concentration, courage, and closure, and then you never give up, nothing can stop you.
Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.